Welcome to the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast, where our goal is to help you increase your reputation as a leader, increase your ability to influence others, and increase your ability to fully engage your team to deliver remarkable results. Hi, I'm Perry Holly, a John Maxwell facilitator and coach.
And I'm Chris Cody, Vice President of the John Maxwell Company. Welcome and thank you for joining. Today's topic is titled Not So Secret Agents of Change. I had to say that slowly, right? Because, and by the way, Perry comes up with these titles, and so I think he does this to me on purpose early on. I guess even the subtitle would be Big Mo Leaders Are Change Agents. All right, so this tongue twister here, give me a little bit of insight. Where did this come from?
I have just noticing more and more in a lot of the coaching business we do that I keep hearing people say they just want to slow down. Can't we just rest? We got here. Things are good. Why do I need to? I talk about being a change agent.
Yeah.
And it's one of what John teaches in level three about if you want to build momentum, positive momentum in your business, then Big Mo. And then you need to be a change agent. Or you could sit back and, keep things the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, the people are asking me, isn't status quo where we are enough? And I just had heard John say that he said status quo is Latin for the mess we're in.
That's right.
I thought, yeah, if you think about it that way. So even if it's a good mess, right? People are feeling times are good. They're going well. Whether it feels like a mess or not, it's going to be over time if you're not moving forward toward a better vision of where you are now. So that's where it's coming from.
Yeah, I love it. The level three leader, you know, if they want to build positive momentum toward the results that they are seeking, they have to act as a change agent. Otherwise, they're going to be pulled into just kind of focusing on the current reality, and that will completely kill any momentum that the organization or the team may have. You know, change starts with doubt about the status quo. And so if we go back to your comment about where John says it's Latin for the mess we are in, you as a leader, you need to continually doubt, you know, kind of where you're at, right? The change starts with that. And I think as a leader, we also must come to the realization, and we know this, but when things are good, we tend to become complacent about it. But all growth curve hits a plateau at some point in time. And as a leader, we better make sure that we're thinking about change before we get to that plateau in that old S curve, you know, from business school. Otherwise, you're going to see your competitors, the other leaders, you're going to see people just go right on by you. And so we need to be thinking about that from a level three standpoint.
I think I've said it here before, and I know I've tweeted it, but if there's no need for change, then there is no need for you as a leader. If things are status quo as we're going to be, we're there, we've arrived, then we can just keep going without you. No need to pay the big bucks. And it's especially I'm noticing this when times are good, that leaders sometimes can get caught into this this trap of we're just status quo is okay for now. So really, I came up through three questions that I'm tending to answer on these coaching calls. And asking about being a change agent when times are good. So I'm going to bounce them off you and see what you think.
Love it. Yeah.
Question one was, why change? Mm. And especially when times are good, why would I need to change?
Well, when you say that, what I think about instantly is think about a world of technology. Think about how often changes happen in technology, right? We all get a new iPhone, and before you know it, in maybe 12 months, 18 months, maybe less than that, all of a sudden they have a new iPhone. And if you think about the things that we used to do, I think back to when I was a teenager, right? And our phones in our house had the roll, you know, you pull a number and then it kind of comes all the way back. It wasn't even the punch button.
The millennials that are listening just
they have no idea. No idea what it is. Matter of fact, they don't even know how to use the phone as a tool to talk to people, right? I mean, I come in the house sometimes and I look at my daughter, my son, I'm like, wait a minute, you knew that you could talk into that thing and somebody else would respond? And so I immediately think about the fact that, man, we thought technology was good with the iPhone 5. And now I don't even know where we're at, iPhone 10. And so you think about now the way that we have more efficient ways of doing business and staying in touch and maybe too much being connected. So the first thing I think about is no matter how good we think things are, There's always ways to improve what is currently going on to some degree. And so technology is the first thing I think about. The other thing I think about is the example that people use oftentimes about, you know, the difference between the degree of Fahrenheit of freezing is 32 and boiling is 212. That's 180 degree difference. Okay. So we're not saying that all change needs to be 180 degrees to get from freezing to boiling, but there is also a 1 degree change between 211 degrees and 212 that changes drastically what happens to that water. And so whether it's going from an iPhone 5 to an iPhone 6 or whether it's going from 211 to 212 degrees, we always have to be thinking about the fact that there's ways to improve what we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one of the models, I heard this years ago, but I kind of had the question myself, but Tiger Woods, top of his game, 180-something plus tournaments, was just destroying everybody, everything. And then when he come off the course, he would go to the range and hit hundreds of balls. Mm-hmm. And some reporter asked him, why do you do that? You're at the top of your game. You're beating everyone. He said, because there's a 16-year-old out there that's practicing day and night coming for me.
That's right.
And I thought, wow, I mean, he had to be a change agent constantly, even at the top of his game, to keep it going. And I thought, that's really the model that I'm looking for.
And he was right about that, by the way. But he showed him who was still boss in his previous masters.
Which is even another lesson.
Yeah, that's right.
Question number two that I ask is, if you want to really be a change agent, especially when times are good, is what should I be changing? What is there to change if things are going well?
Yeah, change by definition requires creating some type of new system, a new process, new outcome. And I think that when you think about sustainability, it's really all about change. And so when you begin looking at this, even when the times are good, as you're talking about, what is there to change? Man, there are so many different things that are involved in what you do on a daily basis. And I'm even thinking about my current role for John and Mark and our organization. There's process improvement. How are we currently getting work done? How do we even improve on the basics? What does it look like in our daily routine? How do I become more efficient and effective at what we do? For us, how do I add more value to people? That's our mission, is we want to add value to leaders. And so add value to organizations. And so what are we currently doing that we can even add more value than what we're currently doing for our partners and our clients? And so when you think about that, there's so many different things. The way I add value to you today should not be the same way that I add value to you in 6 months. Right. And we say a lot that people will join your team, your organization, for one reason, but they're not going to stay with you for that same reason. Right. And if that is true, and it is, then what are you doing to continually change why they're staying on your team?
Right. Well, I'm thinking about Vince Lombardi when he had won the championships. It's a famous story about the first line every year at training camp with these now trophy-winning champions.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, this is the football. And it's really about the basics, as you said, getting brilliant on the basics. And I talked to a lot of our coaches about how are your teams with blocking and tackling? Do they even know what is blocking and tackling in your department? What does that mean?
What are the fundamentals?
Yeah. And can you get better at doing those? Oh, yeah, because you know what? They're skipping a lot of those fundamentals because times are good and I'm just fast-forwarding. No, this is where we can work on those basics. Number three, the question, and I'd love to get your feedback on this, is, so, okay, I know why to change, I know what to change, but how do I get buy-in from the team to embrace change?
Yeah, because the first thing everybody does when you say, we're getting ready to change something, they ask themselves this question: how does that affect me?
Yeah.
And they kind of internalize all of that. And so I think the biggest thing that we have to understand around success of change and what that looks like is we have to continually communicate your vision for the change so that the team understands kind of the why. Oh, things are going well right now. Why are you going to go ahead and change from 211 degrees to 212 degrees? And why? What does that look like? And how's that going to affect them? Some of the action items that coming out of this that I wrote down here was make sure you create a vision to direct the change effort. So whatever it is, they know you're changing. The team's going to feel it. Your partners are going to feel it, whatever it is. And so make sure you create a vision why you want to direct the change effort, and then communicate that using every possible method that you have inside your organization. So whether it's you know, voice text, or whether it's email chains, or whether it's visuals, whatever it is, try to communicate that vision. And I think no matter how small the change is, you need to begin speaking that language. You need to begin to communicate. Now, the pitfalls of those two things that I just want to mention is, make sure that when you do present this vision, that it's not overly complicated.
Right.
Okay? That's the KISS method. Like, let's make sure that it's very practical and that it's not complicated. And then, kind of counter to what I was just saying about communicating it, just don't under-communicate. Don't take for granted that they understand the new direction, the new change, the new vision, the new why. Make sure that you communicate it enough.
Yeah, well, I tell you one thing I had done in the past when I was a second line or third line leader, I forget what level, but I had leaders under me that had teams under them, and I just ask for each team leader, I would hold them accountable for having an answer to the question, what's the number one problem you need to solve in your department to either increase revenue, decrease costs, or increase efficiencies? Mm-hmm. I just kind of trying to make it simple, increase revenue, decrease costs, increase efficiency.
Which is what we're all looking at.
Yeah, and I said, so what would you need to do to get a metric, a positive pull in one of those three areas? And I was surprised when I first did this, none of them could actually come up with that idea. Then I kind of prodded and gave some ideas, and they started coming up with, if I could solve one thing, it would be this. And I said, well, then the solution to that problem is that where you're a change agent. That's where you don't need to be a secret agent, Yeah. You need to be a change agent. That's where you will find the growth.
See, I'm glad that title just got you too. So now it's payback for you
too clever for myself sometimes.
That title. Yeah. I mean, if you can't describe the problem, there's no chance you're probably working on the right thing. Right. And so you need to make sure that you keep it as simple as possible. I think about two things in this area. One of the things we do in our weekly team meetings is we have different buckets that we cover consistently each week, and they are somewhat in alignment with the three things you just mentioned that every business leader is probably focusing on. And at the end, we talk about, we allow some time for some innovative thought and conversation around solving this, which is, we'll go around the room and everybody on the team, no matter what your role is, we're talking about what is the biggest barrier that's keeping you from doing your job. What's the rock that's in the way? How do we get to a rock removal place, and what does that look like? And we get the team kind of talking about that. And the second thing was a conversation we were just having around one of our clients that you're working with and you're coaching, and there's a certain department it's not performing well. And if everybody's not on the same page, mm-hmm. the change that needs to be made, everybody is thinking that it's a completely different change, and where you may need to bring the team together. And so talk just real quickly a little bit about that example and how you were almost able to kind of unify the change movement that team needs to have to be able to produce at a higher level.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, just the two things I noticed in coaching this kind of work was, why are they not being a change agent? Why are they, and I don't really like that word, but why are they not leading change in their departments? And number one was, they're so consumed with today that they really haven't considered what tomorrow looks like. And if business is good, they're going all out. They are, heads down, and they sometimes miss the obvious problem. And then number two, to your point, is that they don't really have a clear understanding of the problem. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a clear understanding or even agreement, as a senior leader, I want to know, are we solving the right problem? Because what I find, if you don't, you're majoring on minor things.
Yeah.
And I really want you majoring on major things.
Yeah.
And that's where we're going to make the progression in our business. So, the examples you mentioned there, once we got on the same page about the problem, light bulbs started coming on. People saying, oh, yeah, I can do that.
I can help with that.
Yeah, and it doesn't sound so intimidating. I'm a change agent. Yeah, I don't want to be a change agent.
Yeah,
you do. Because that's what's going to set you up for future growth and success.
And I think the other story behind that story is that there are individuals on your team that think the change that needs to happen is one thing. While it may be that might be down the road a little bit further, and they didn't see what somebody else saw and said, oh, yeah, we need to attack that change first. Mm-hmm. We need to be thinking about what that looks like, and then we'll solve the other piece. And you kind of get everybody on the same page. It reminds me of that age-old thought of, man, stop working in it, right? In the business and begin on it. And so you were able to take the team through a coaching call and back them away and say, hey, let's talk about this and let's work on the business and let's have some conversations. And out of that came, you know, one of the most successful, the VP said to you, one of the most successful times his team has ever had together. And so I just think it's a great example to make sure that we're moving them in the same direction. So as we wrap up, let me just summarize a couple of takeaways for me today and maybe encourage our listeners to do a couple of things. The first thing I thought about here that I wrote down, and this is for me as much as it is for each of our listeners, we have to continually change internally in order to change externally. Mm-hmm. And so if we're not challenging ourselves to personal growth and to leadership growth and changing internally and what we're doing, because we've never arrived. And so we'll never be able to, I think, influence external change if they don't see it in us first. All growth, remember, hits a plateau. And so let's make sure as leaders we're thinking about that before it happens. Make sure we have that curiosity. Make sure we're asking questions. And then I'm going to close with this. And you've heard me say this before. We've talked about it. It's been several podcasts ago. The three things, a simple kind of change management model is you figure out, you start with the end in mind, and what is it that we want to change? And then if you will develop a common language around that, and you will speak that, you'll cast that vision, you'll repeat it, you'll communicate it, your team will begin to believe it, and then you'll see their behaviors change. And so it's the common language, beliefs, and behaviors will drive ultimate change inside your team, your organization, whatever it might be.
Well, I appreciate your point about personal change as well. I think it's one of my biggest fears as a leader is that and what drives me for my personal growth is if I don't pour into me, then I can't pour into them, and I definitely don't know where to take the team if I'm investing in me to build that vision for the team. So if I never back off of growing me, because that's the only thing that's going to grow the business. So great input, Chris. Thanks as always. Just as a reminder, if you'd like to learn more about the five levels of leadership or perhaps bring a five levels workshop to your organization, please go to johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. You can leave a comment for us there. You're also welcome to leave a question about leadership that you'd like answered. We'd love to hear from you. That's all for today. Thank you again for joining us at the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast.